This is WBUR. From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It's been almost 7 months now since the events of September 11th. Americans have been almost daily astonished in some dimension by the news of the day, from the first attacks on America to the scares of anthrax to war in Afghanistan and the renewed conflict in the Middle East. All the while, the United States has been examining and re-examining its role in the world today and what that role might and should be tomorrow. Tonight, we bring you an all-star lineup from across the political and social spectrum speaking to the role of America in the world. We've pulled up for you from our On Point archives the best of Jimmy Carter and Pat Buchanan, Noam Chomsky, Benazir Bhutto, George Mitchell, former poet laureate Robert Pinsky, and much more for you tonight. On Point has been there for you almost since the beginning of a new national era, maybe new global era. It was created out of a need for special coverage when 9/11 shook the world. It's helped us all dive into the heart of critical, fast-changing issues. On Point's been given a permanent home here on WBUR and WRNI because of your embrace of our brand of live interviews, talk, and news every evening. Tonight, we come to you to help us keep it going with your pledge of support. You can call throughout the show, 1-800-909-WBUR. That's 1-800-909-9287. But first, and throughout the hour, to help us size up America's changing place in the world, I'm joined by our On Point news analyst extraordinaire, Jack Beatty. Welcome, Jack. It's good to have you down here from the studios of Vermont Public Radio and in our studio tonight.
Down here to spring.
Jack, we've got an incredible lineup tonight. You know, we've had such... such strange magnetism on this show. We've talked with such incredible luminaries and thinkers and talkers from across the whole spectrum in these last 6 or 7 months. And tonight, as you know, we're diving in to look back at some of the really key moving comments that speak to this issue of where the United States is headed now in the world. What is America's place in the world? We're all wrestling with this every day in the news headlines. We're looking back to see what some of the most compelling speakers we've had on have had to say, and there have been a lot of them.
There have, and they have spoke for the various possibilities in America's role in the world. Sometime in late December, the New York Times did a big ideas piece on the various schools of American foreign policy as they were sort of framing the paradigms that were framing discussion of foreign policy, the realists, the multinationalists, the unilateralists. Well, all of the people they mentioned, right down to John Gaddis and Paul Kennedy and Richard Perle, they had all been on the show. They had all spoken that worldview from here.
It's been a great lineup. Let's dive right in here. It was back in the holiday time before the end of last year. We heard from Benazir Bhutto, former prime minister of Pakistan, a long history in New England and the Boston area, incredibly well-spoken. She told us so much about her personal life and about what's going on in South Asia. I asked her to look at America's emotional response to 9/11 and her emotional response, Pakistan's emotional response.
Well, in a sense, I think that American people are very innocent. Americans, I find, are cut off from the rest of the world by oceans, and they are very much into their own society and humanity. They do understand that there should be peace and security. But because America has not really been attacked since Pearl Harbor, there is an innocence in America.
And when you say innocence, you mean a kind of naivete, really?
Not naivete, but a kind of innocence about war or conflict or bloodshed. For example, my country has had 3 wars. Mm-hmm. So my country and my people know what war is about. But people in America were innocent to conflict, and I think that it is that innocence that has been shattered. That is what I feel saddest about, that people have a right to see the world through the eyes of innocence, and snatching away that innocence with this terrible attack hit me profoundly.
Benazir Bhutto talking with us on this show on December 21st. And look at that, Jack. She says America's lost its innocence, and she, a Pakistani, feels that profoundly. I come in and say, do you mean naivete? And she says, no, it's nothing about naivete.
Yes.
It's real, genuine innocence, and the world needs it, and you've lost it, and
yes.
Well, she's sorry for that.
Yes, she said, you've been initiated into history's fearsomeness, and maybe, she sort of suggests to me that maybe some of the transformative hope, the millennial hope that's been a constant in American history from Manifest Destiny onward, has been diminished, that was part of our innocence, the idea that history, with these moats around us, we could be safe against it and we could direct it. Well, that's all gone. And she's saying something valuable may have gone with it for the whole world.
And don't let all of it go, America. Hang on to it. So somehow retain a piece of that innocence even as you become more knowing about the dangers of the world. I want to move right on here to an amazing interview we had on this show. We sat in the study of John Kenneth Galbraith, world-renowned economist, now 94 years old, and still strutting his stuff in a big way. We sat in his study in Cambridge and asked him about the American response so far in war and economics to 9/11.
I think there's no question that that is true. And I think also going a step further, there's one point about which we should be concerned, and that is the real danger that we use international crises as a stimulant for our own economy. I want to see our economy, when it needs a stimulant, as it often does, respond to a welfare, a kindness, a humane need, and not to sending soldiers into battle or nowadays sending airplanes to bomb innocent people.
And yet only in these 6 months we've leapt to the word war in response to an attack.
That is something which I very much regret. I think to some extent we used war as the cover for other needs, including a measure of public unity that it brings along with much higher costs, much higher dangers. I think we should all agree that war now has the possibility of ending all civilized life.
John Kenneth Galbraith talking to us just a couple of months ago, the voice of the 20th century speaking so urgently to the people of the 21st century.
Yes, and he was there at the 20th century. He was the head of the Strategic Bombing Survey after World War II. He went to Dresden, he went to Hamburg, he went to Hiroshima, and he saw firsthand what the horrors of industrial warfare are like. And he's been a peace activist ever since.
In just a few moments, we're going to hear from Jimmy Carter, Noam Chomsky, Pat Buchanan, George Mitchell, and more. But first, I want to bring in WBUR reporter extraordinaire Monica Brady-Meyerhoff.
Good evening.
Good to have you, Monica. And WBUR WRNI Assistant Programming Director Peter Laidones into the studio for a few minutes. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Jack. Hi, Monica.
Hello.
Peter, this is On Point's first fundraiser for EVRI. This is our coming out party to bring in the resources to make this kind of thing go on. How do we get started?
How do we get started? Well, as you say, Tom, we've never done this with On Point before. Listener pledges pay for the news and all the programs here at WBUR and WRNI. I think we get started by just tossing out the phone number and seeing just how much value the listeners place on this program. 1-800-909-9287 is the number to call to make your pledge. Let's hear from you now.
We know from the very first night that this show went on the air, and it was less than a week after 9/11 that it happened, the response from listeners has just been extraordinary. The need was enormous. The urgency of the moment was enormous, and people have been such contributors by email, by card, by letter, by their phone calls every night. Now we're turning to those same listeners and asking them to step up for the show to help us help it go on so effectively. Monica.
That's right. As you say, the program was created because of a crisis, but it stayed because listeners like you wanted it to stay. They like how On Point gets to the heart of the matter, gets to the heart of the issue, and it lets you make your viewpoint. It opens the call lines to you and lets you give your points as well.
So you can give your point right now quite eloquently with a pledge call at 1-800-909-9287 with a pledge of $50, $150, maybe a dollar a day, whatever's right for you. But remember that programs like On Point with Tom and with Jack are only possible through support from listeners just like you. So take a moment now before we go back to these other great segments that Tom and Jack are going to bring us. Make a pledge call now at 1-800-909-9287.
Peter, I know you and others have been in here for most of a week now pitching and putting out the call for people to support WBUR, WRNI. But it really can't be overstated how important it is. And if anything has been shown night after night on this show and in the aftermath of 9/11, it's how information is maybe the most important thing we have. 9/11 showed us how without information, without an understanding of the world, we are incredibly vulnerable. It takes a community of listeners to make that happen, and it takes the support of listeners to make that happen.
And On Point takes this information one step further because it's live programming, after all things considered, which we didn't have before September 11th. Now when you sit down to dinner or when you're making dinner, you can turn On Point, and that could be your topic for your dinner conversation. That's what this show is all about. It takes what you've probably been talking about all day and maybe are planning to talk about around your dinner table and advances the discussion, and it opens the phone lines and lets you participate.
So let's hear from you right now. Participate now with a pledge call to 1-800-909-9287. And here's a first, you know, this is our first fundraiser with On Point. Well, here's an opportunity now to get the first edition On Point poster for your pledge of $75, designed by Curtis and Williams Art House. It's 22 by 28 inches. I have a small print of it here. Very powerful, much like the program that you're supporting with your pledge now. $75 gets you the poster. Make sure you tell the person who answers the phone to write poster on your pledge slip. Pledge $150, get two posters. Pledge enough to get a poster in every room in the house. But let's hear from you now to keep programs like On Point coming. 1-800-909-9287.
Peter, is the poster up online now? Can people see it
there? Yes, if you go to WBUR.org, you can see it for yourself. And then you can pledge online as well or call 1-800-909-9287.
It's been an incredible cavalcade of people who have been in this studio and hooked in by phone to this studio, talking with us here night after night. Just recently, we had Jimmy Breslin on. We've had John Dean, Sebastian Younger, Shelby Steele, Lonnie Guinier, Victor Davis Hanson, Jeffrey Sachs, Malcolm Gladwell. It goes on and on. The reason people are willing to be part of this show is because it does, as Monica said, try every night to get to the heart of the matter, to get what's really urgent, and lay it out in great clarity, in great detail, and always with the open phone lines to you. Please help us keep it going now. You can call 1-800-909-9287.
That's right. On Point is tied to what's going on in the news. It has a sense of urgency because we're covering news events such as the Israeli conflict, the economy, Enron. These are topics that have been drawn out more with On Point, with really intelligent, lively, and discussion that you can participate in.
This kind of programming is a risk. It's extremely expensive, but we know it's important to you. Show us now with a pledge call, 1-800-909-9287. Again, we didn't put a goal on this hour. We're leaving it up to you. Show us what you think this program's worth with your pledge call at 1-800-909-9287.
Peter, Monica, you know, I've spent more than 20 years in journalism, posted all around the world, and been in many, many newsrooms around the world. The last 6 or 8 months are my first experience in radio, and I have to say it has been an astonishing revelation to me. First of all, to see just what goes into it behind the scenes, the number of people required to mount these shows, to get it all on the air. It may sound like a symphony when it happens on the nights that we're lucky, but what goes into it is enormous. And secondly, the commitment and passion of people putting it together. I think, as a relative newcomer, that really deserves the support of people who listen to it. I hope you feel the same from what you hear every night. We're at 1-800-909-9287.
Well, Tom, you're doing a fantastic job new to radio, but it's true that to put on a program like this, a lot of resources. Producers, it means more computers, it means more space, it means more paper, pens, pencils, everything you need to put on important news information.
So you keep it coming when you call 1-800-909-9287. Remember, pledge $75 and you can get the terrific first edition On Point poster. But we're going to hear some more great clips from the program with Tom and Jack. Call now at 1-800-909-9287.
This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Tonight we're bringing you a lineup from across the political, social, and demographic spectrum to assess America's place in the world since 9/11. Jack Beatty, jump back in here with us. In this segment, we're going to be hearing from the right and the center, from Pat Buchanan, Richard Pearl, George Mitchell. We had Pat Buchanan on just a few weeks ago. He, of course, was talking about his concern, which is America internally, that America can't be right in the world unless it's right in itself. And Pat Buchanan, the conservative, is very concerned about that. His concerns are focused within America's borders.
The melting pot idea has been superseded by multiculturalism. The new immigrants are invited and urged to maintain their separate language, culture, traditions. American culture is no longer something that people like Teddy Roosevelt and others would demand people conform to. They're now preaching basically what I think is separatism, and assimilation is not happening. And so I think what we're going to wind up with is a Balkanized American, which is predominantly Hispanic in the Southwest up to Los Angeles. Euro-Americans or white Americans or Anglos, whatever they call us now, we used to be just Americans, will move in toward the center of everybody involved in it. And I think if we don't get the melting pot working again, this is exactly what's going to happen. No nation has ever gone through this kind of demographic change and survived. I think we're taking a risk with the security and survival and cohesion and unity of our country, and I don't think it's a risk worth taking.
Pat Buchanan, February 11th, On Point, talking about his concern, Jack Beatty, of squabbling minorities, internal disunity, and everything Americans have in common breaking down.
Yeah, we had Andrew Sullivan as a guest on the program, and he was doing a sort of taxonomy of conservative thought and how different schools of conservatism have reacted to 9/11. And there was one school called the Paleo Conservatives, of which Pep Buchanan, Robert Bork, Jerry Falwell were exemplars. And basically, he was saying these guys have been disproven by the reaction to 9/11. Unity, a multi-ethnic, multiracial, both genders in the military, a gay man, Mr. Bingham, Mark Bingham on the flight in Pennsylvania, one of the heroes of that flight. This whole paleo-conservative, let's give up on this country, it's slouching toward Gomorrah in the title of a Robert Bork book, has sort of been disproved by the response to this crisis.
Yet we recognize the impulse when things get tough in the world to look at home and say, let's get our own house in order. Let's pull together. You're saying that's what happened post 9/11.
I think it is. I think the evidence is clear.
There's another kind of conservative, not paleo-conservative, but tough and military-minded conservative we've heard from repeatedly on this show. Let's listen now to Richard Perle. He's got a tough view looking out at the world. He's a political soulmate of the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Paul Wolfowitz. We talked to Richard Perle about what may be the next big challenge, the next huge marker in American action in the world, an action against Iraq.
Well, we know that he has weapons of mass destruction, including biological weapons and chemical weapons. We know that unlike others who possess some of these weapons, he's actually used them and used them against civilian populations as well as in the war with Iran. We know that he is busy working to acquire nuclear weapons and may emerge with nuclear weapons at any moment. And we know he hates the United States and declares that at every opportunity. So the question is, can we afford to leave him in place, continuing to work on nuclear weapons, continuing to refine his other weapons of mass destruction, while hoping that he won't use those weapons against us or distribute weapons of mass destruction to terrorists who might use them against us? And I think we've reached the point where the danger of waiting too long is greater than the risks involved in removing him from office.
Richard Perle and Jack Beatty, here we have a man who we know speaks for a strong constituency inside the Bush administration, says, give terrorists no quarter. Let's go after them. Let's clean up the world and clean it up now.
Including Iraq. We've been all over the Iraq story. I think the second night we were on the air, we reported that a group of American conservatives led by Perle and William Kristol and William Bennett and others had sent President Bush a letter saying that unless the United States attacked Iraq early in the war on terror, the war on terror would be a failure. And we went on to report how the split had developed between the Defense Department, centered around the person of the Deputy Secretary Paul Wolfowitz, and Secretary Powell in the State Department over what to do about Iraq. And we've been on that story just regularly.
One can only wonder right now, when the conflict in Israel with the Palestinians has blown up to such a scale, it was only weeks ago that the administration was on a fast track, on a roll. Iraq was in the gun sights. We were going in there now. Secretary of State has pulled off. Dick Cheney went through the region, didn't get the buy-in he wanted to have on that trip around the Middle East. You know, the fact is, nothing stays as you expect today. It may be tomorrow.
Yes, we
try and stay on top of that every night, but the White House is doing the very same thing right now.
It is, and they're sort of ad-libbing, and they're having to say, wait a minute, the war in the Middle East is a necessity. We have to deal with that now. Iraq is an option. And great powers have to deal with necessities before they deal with choices, before they deal with optional wars.
But there's a torque here that we can feel, and our listeners respond to it night after night. You can feel it in the White House right now. George Bush, some instinct saying, go, pedal to the metal, let's make war. Well, we've got the troops in the region. Let's take care of Saddam Hussein. He thumbed his nose at my dad. It's not going to happen again. Then he sits down for a weekend in Crawford, Texas, with Tony Blair, the pal who represents Europe's concerns, while the Middle East burns, and comes out with a much different kind of tone, saying we've got to find common ground here around the Middle East issue.
It's very difficult for a president to adjust to realities that he hasn't anticipated. And I think the president in the last week, to give him credit, has been doing that, has been trying to do that. And, you know, he has this paradigm. Iraq is at the center of everything. And now there's a new paradigm, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and all the ramifications of that for our allies, for our economy.
It's huge. We saw early on this show, as did many people, but we jumped right on how this conflict, Israeli-Palestinian conflict, could become part and parcel of the war on terror, of the conflict, the larger conflict in the Middle East and concerns there. In October, we were already talking with former Senator George Mitchell about Mideast peace. George Mitchell has been a key negotiator in negotiations in Israel and around Ireland as well. His name is on the very plan for ceasefire and peace talks that Colin Powell is talking about right now. I asked him in October how important it was for peace to come in this area. How important was peace here to the U.S., and what were the risks if the situation got worse?
There's the risk of huge loss of life on both sides, which from a humanitarian standpoint would be a terrible tragedy. There's the further risk of it spiraling into a region-wide war, which would be disastrous for the region and for the interests of the United States. And it could undermine the coalition that the United States is building to enable it to prosecute the war that's now going on against terrorism. So I think that there are many risks involved. But I just want to say that at almost any point in time in the several years prior to the date on which an agreement was reached in Northern Ireland, one could have reached a negative conclusion, and many did. I think that what the United States must do is to persevere with a keen sense of urgency on the importance of the problem, but not to be discouraged by setback after setback after setback. You just have to stay with this because you have to recognize that the goal is a good and noble one.
Former Senator George Mitchell on this program in October saying, hey, keep your wits about you, America, as violent and bad as things may look. And here's the diplomat, the negotiator talking. There's always a way to get things back on the rails, to get people calmed down, to talk and talk and find a peaceful way forward.
Yes. Several weeks ago, speaking at Tufts University, President Clinton said that in the negotiations with Ireland, the task was to bring people together, whereas in Israel, the task was to help them to separate. And George Mitchell used his voice and good offices in both enterprises. And we hear there, as we have heard in Dennis Ross, who was the main U.S. negotiator throughout 9 years and two administrations.
And our guest multiple times on the show.
Multiple times. We hear in their very rhythms a kind of patience and a kind of acceptance of a setback and a willingness to look beyond today's trouble to tomorrow's possibility. There's something, even though these are sort of gray men speaking in gray and measured tones, there's also something sort of inspiring that these people are out there and working for peace.
Well, there is, isn't there? Even just yesterday, Colin Powell saying, let's settle the boat here. Let's just settle the boat. If everyone will stay calm, we can get to peace. In a time of suicide bombings and flame and tank treads loud on the radio, those voices are important to help people remember it's not just chaos. America is not just in a turbulent world. There are people who want that progress to peace as well.
Yes, and you know, George Mitchell mentioned Ireland. I see in today's paper the IRA has now turned over a second large batch of weapons. The Ireland peace process is still alive and still moving.
There's an example of one that worked. Coming up, we'll hear from Jimmy Carter, Noam Chomsky, Robert Pinsky, and more. But first, let me bring WBUR reporter Monica Brady-Meyerhoff and WBUR WRNI Assistant Program Director Peter Lydodes back in. Peter, what are we hearing from callers? Are they answering the call?
They are answering indeed. Hi, we're hearing from a lot of folks calling in saying that they do value this program so much and they're pledging their support at 1-800-909-9287. We hope that you, too, value On Point and will call, pledge your support, because remember, we can't bring you programs like On Point without pledges from listeners just like you. This is the first fundraising hour we've opened up within On Point. We took a risk putting this program on. We're taking a risk this hour because we've set no goal, but therefore we've also set no limits on how much support we can bring in from listeners like you. So let's hear from you. 1-800-909-9287.
Peter, we've had such an extraordinary outpouring of listener support for the kind of frank talk and aggressive exploration of issues that 9/11 required of this show. And in a strange way, you know, you are how you're born. And we were born out of that crisis. And I think that kind of candor that crisis demanded is part of the DNA that's central, that's core to the show. We're driven by urgent issues that shape our world right out of the day's news, and we're committed to that daily, vigorous debate and analysis of what it all means. We don't pull punches. We don't expect our listeners to pull them either or our guests to pull them either. We're at 1-800-909-9287. I can get carried away talking about it, but it's important.
And
9/11 proved it. It showed it. And we need support for that right now. If you just spin your dial and try and find this anywhere else, any evening, try it. Try it anytime. Try it tonight. Well, don't try it right now. Try it when we're done. You won't find it. Monica.
That's right. And On Point brings you a unique combination of radio elements. It's part news magazine, part calls from you, the listeners, as well as sound diaries at the end of each program where one person speaks out about an issue that's close to their heart. Plus, we've got news analyst Jack Beatty, who provides perspective, senior editor at Atlantic Monthly. This is the kind of people and perspective on the radio you're just not going to find anywhere else.
And it's what you pay for when you call 1-800-909-9287. This is interesting because Monica and I are like flies on the wall in the studio here with Tom and Jack. You would be hard-pressed in here not to just be tingling with the energy that these two pump out every evening with their show.
And you're drawn into their conversation.
It's really amazing. We need that energy to come back from you in a pledge now because that's how we keep these programs coming. 1-800-909-9287 with your pledge of $50. Pledge $75, you'll be one of the first to get the first edition On Point poster. If you're online, you can take a look at WBUR.org and pledge your support for this amazing energy, this amazing wealth of information that we get every night.
You know, the times have made it easy, or they've made it necessary to have that energy. There are serious stakes on the table, and we all feel it. On Point, it was created in response to that. It was named in response to that. You know, we like to say in ballet, On Point is up on your toes. In war, it's the lead soldier on patrol. In conversation, it's the heart of the matter, and that's where we intend to be, at the heart of the matter. Every night, we need your support now to stay there at 1-800-909-9287.
And Tom, as you say, On Point is fresh, it's new, it's something at the end of your day that you just can't find anywhere else on the radio dial. But now is the time of the evening when you want to sound off about today's news. You've just finished listening to All Things Considered. Maybe you've been talking back to your radio on your drive home from work, and you want to hear more analysis, and you want to participate in the conversation, and that's what On Point brings you.
This program is not funded by the federal government. It's funded by listeners just like you. So let's hear from you now. What are you waiting for? 1-800-909-9287. That's the number to call.
We have a commitment here to stay true to our commitment to you and your voices. And really, those voices, we hear them every night. They are the most honest, unflinching views we air. We've counted on you all along to keep us honest and focused. Now we're counting on you to help keep us funded. 1-800-909-9287.
That's right. On Point lets you, the caller, make the point. It lets you get on point because the show is primarily caller-driven, so the phone lines are always open to you, the listener. And now they're open to you, the listener, to show us what this program means to you.
It's listener-supported radio. You're the listener. Do the equation. 1-800-909-9287. 9287.
I think of all the listeners out there, and there are many, it's been one of the fastest growing shows in public radio history. I think of them, and I feel every night a community, really a community of citizens. And what we're trying to provide here is the kind of information and forum that citizens need to talk over what's going on in their world and lives when that is critical, when we've been shown what can happen if we're not alert, if we're not awake, if we're not informed. We can exchange those views here. It's been a privilege for me to be associated with this, and I can only hope that folks pitch in to support that and keep it going. Please do that at 1-800-909-9287. It's not a joke. We need your support.
And you can hear the community of this radio that On Point creates every evening. It's a program that's always moving somewhere. It inspires conversation that you can participate in and that you can take to your own dinner table or share with family and friends.
1-800-909-9287 with your pledge of $50, $200, $500, whatever you can afford. Take a moment, though, right now while you're thinking about it and call 1-800-909-9287. Pledge for On Point.
We've got a lot more coming up, but you know the kind of people you hear on this show: Anthony Lewis, Robert Reich, William Kristol, George McGovern, Robert Fisk, Michael Moore, Arianna Huffington, Robert Kaplan, Donald Kagan. The list goes on and on. People are on the show because they want to be here. Please call 1-800-909-9287. It's 737.
We're funded by you, our listeners, when you call 1-800-909-9287, and support from Wellington Management Company, providing investment advice to clients worldwide, Nortech, creating building products to help improve the comfort and security of homes and workplaces around the world, and Essex Partners, providing career advice, consulting services, and new opportunities to senior executives in transition in Boston and on the web at essexpartners.com. But again, 1-800-909-9287 is the way to show your support.
Jack Beatty, it was Pearl Harbor Day at the end of last year when former President Jimmy Carter came on to talk with us. And as always, Jimmy Carter's got a unique voice, and we try to have that texture here. And he was on that night and talking about the kind of thing that everyone wants to hear about. What does a former president with that perspective have? We're going to hear from him in just a moment. But what right now, we're at 1-800-909-9287 and looking for support from our listeners that keeps a forum open for voices like his.
That's right. And Jimmy Carter is just one of the many voices that you can hear on Point that you can participate on as a caller and a participatory guest on this program, because On Point is willing to embrace controversial guests. It believes that controversial issues don't need to be swept under the rug. Instead, let's put them on the air together and then let you, the caller, call up and participate in the conversation.
1-800-909-9287. We won't sweep any of those calls under the rug either. Call now. Pledge for On Point. It's a program you've grown to love. You listen to it each and every night. Now, remember, we need your pledge calls to pay for it, because listeners pay the largest share of the costs here at WBUR, WRNI. 1-800-909-9287. We're going to be hearing some more terrific clips from past programs. Take a moment now as we go back. 1-800-909-9287 and pledge your support.
Jack Beatty, did you hear me there? I'm jumping in trying to get back to the programming. I'm not used to this fundraising thing. I know we need it, and I hope people will step up and do it. 1-800-909-9287. But what I really want to do is talk about Jimmy Carter and that Pearl Harbor Day when he was here with us. We asked Jimmy Carter, I said, how do you think we're doing in this balance of toughness in the world and openness to paths of peace?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. I think the prominent effect of our efforts in Afghanistan will depend quite heavily on how generous the United States and the rest of the world will be in rebuilding an Afghanistan that's almost totally destroyed, both by our bombing and also by the earlier invasion of the Soviets, which, by the way, took place on Christmas of 1979 when I was in office. So these historical events seem to have a secular or cycle effect, but I hope that we'll be much more generous to Afghanistan when there is stability and peace there than we were when the Soviets finally withdrew.
Jimmy Carter speaking with us on Point in December. Jack Beatty, he didn't become president for nothing. He was pointing right at the issue that's become very central now, these months later, that enormous aid has not been there yet for Afghanistan. Things are the American place in the world. Do we go in, make a splash, and go home, or do we go in, liberate some people and stick around to make sure that the liberation sticks? We really work on this show to cover the spectrum of voices. We were delighted just a month and a half ago to have Noam Chomsky come on, world-famous political philosopher and linguist. Noam Chomsky stakes out radical territory here. He questions the whole premise of what's going on, calls the United States itself a terrorist nation. We asked him about the moral minefield that any nation walks in when it goes to anything called war, and he responded saying he had a problem with the United States calling this a war on terror at all.
It cannot be a war on terrorism. We shouldn't use the phrase. The war is being led by the one country in the world that has been condemned for international terrorism. The other members of the coalition against terror are also terrorist states. I don't have to tell you about Britain's record for a couple hundred years. Turkey is happy to join. In fact, they said why? In gratitude, because the Clinton administration gave them overwhelming support. In fact, 80% of their arms when they carried out some of the worst ethnic cleansing and atrocities of the 1990s.
So when you say there are plenty of bin Ladens on both sides, yeah, what do you mean?
I mean there are plenty of people who accept the principle that we're going to drive our enemies out of our lands. When bin Laden says it, he means Muslim lands. When George Bush and Tony Blair say it, they mean the world.
Noam Chomsky talking to us on Point. Jack Beatty, if debate makes a country strong, we should be a strong nation.
Yes, we certainly, we have Richard Pearl and Noam Chomsky. You know, with Noam Chomsky, all the grays, all the ambiguity, even the moral ambiguity that we all feel about the exercise of American power, all that is melted away, and he sees the world in these very really good and evil terms, and often we're aligned with evil. But, you know, we've heard this from African callers, we heard it from people from Latin America, and we heard it from the Middle East who say, listen, if you could see what America has meant in our part of the world, you would not see yourself as a righteous nation at all. You would see dictators. You would see torture. You would see, and my gosh, they're right. I mean, the Cold War, we fought, you know, much of our virtue and power do not go together. And in the Cold War, again and again, our power impulses got the better of our humanitarian.
Well, there are dimensions in which they're right, and it may be the way in which they perceived America in their particular local community. On the other hand, you've got to see the virtue here, too. People have sacrificed and died from this country for freedom, for liberty. All over the world have continued to. And we see that in Afghanistan. We always have to wrestle. As you say, when you're that powerful, even when you do good, you may be doing ill at the same time. Even when you set out to do good, you may do ill on the side. Yes. And some parts of our government may be doing something we don't even know about that's ill right now.
That's right. That's right. It's just very, very difficult to be able to exercise power without part of the responsibility of power, which is that innocent people, even in a good cause, can be killed. And, of course, Mr. Chomsky doesn't see things in that way. He wouldn't allow good cause. But, you know, I really think he blurs a distinction here. There is a difference morally between state violence, which is retaliatory, and terrorist violence, stateless terrorist violence. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, if there weren't the state, he says we want to rid the world of our enemies. Well, we do want to rid the world of al-Qaeda, and we're allowed to. Aren't we? I mean, they attacked us and they mean us ill and they want to, you know, get weapons of mass destruction in this country. To rid the world of al-Qaeda seems to me a boon for the whole world, not just for this country.
And yet I think it's a point of pride for this nation to have stern critics like Noam Chomsky out there, and a point of pride for this show to have that view represented on this show. It makes us all think. Some of the things that we're wrestling with in this era go beyond political discourse, and we've tried to follow that with shows that get into the realm of music, the arts, film, poetry. We talked on a number of occasions with the former poet laureate of the United States, Robert Pinsky. We had him on one evening when he shared with us one of his very favorite poems, a poem he thinks speaks to the times that we're in. It's called Souvenir of the Ancient World. Robert Pinsky.
There are as many as there are moods and responses of people. Almost every response that anyone has had, there's a poem for it. Often the best poems about the event are written many years before the event. Let me read you a very short poem that someone sent to me. A wonderful translation by Mark Strand of the Brazilian poet Carlos Drummond de Andrade.
Read away.
The poem is called Souvenir of the Ancient World. Clara strolled in the garden with the children. The sky was green over the grass. The water was golden under the bridges. Other elements were blue and rose and orange. A policeman smiled. Bicycles passed. A girl stepped onto the lawn to catch a bird. The whole world, Germany, China, all was quiet around Clara. The children looked at the sky. It was not forbidden. Mouth, nose, eyes were open. There was no danger. What Clara feared were the flu, the heat, the insects. Clara feared missing the 11 o'clock trolley, waiting for letters slow to arrive, not always being able to wear a new dress. But she strolled in the garden in the morning. They had gardens. They had mornings in those days.
We've heard so many people say that everything has changed. I've said it. I felt it. Everything is different now. And when he says they had gardens, they had mornings in those days, and the realization that we are or were the ancient world, it's so compact and it's so graceful. And with my same mouth and breath that I use all day to say, is that your car blocking mine? Or, yeah, let's not try that right now. Or, okay, I can be there. That same breath and that same language says something so well, so gracefully.
Former U.S. Poet Laureate Robert Pinsky with us on Point. Jack Beattie, there are times when the urge for normalcy in the face of crisis, of even chaos, is so strong. The poem says the children looked at the sky. It was not forbidden. And we want to remember those unforbidden skies where we don't think about airliners hitting towers.
Yes, and we've heard in some of our diaries from, I was one from a young mother in Cambridge, Mass, who was on a playground with her child and was thinking of these very sorts of thoughts. And the poet has sort of taken this quotidian moment and said, you know, let's look at the skies and hope that there isn't a suicide bomber up there.
Let's go to those radio diaries. We've had so many of them at the end of our hours. They've brought the voices of real Americans and people from all over the world into our show and made the personal, the intimate real for us. 2 months after the events of September 11th, we talked to the members of an Alabama quilting bee about their thoughts on 9/11 and its aftermath.
A lot of people probably saw it coming, but you think stuff like that happens other places that don't happen in the United States of America, because we have people from all countries over here.
All I can say is when the bombing happened, those people over there were laughing about it. And I wonder if they're laughing now. It's just awful. But, you know, it's just life, and you just, life goes on, and you just have to. Can't stay under the bed. We've got to, life, you just have to pick up and go on and trust in God and hope that for the best.
Well, I think I'm more thankful for what I have and the fact that I can quilt in peace, and I'm not afraid that a bomb's going to drop on our quilters' cottage. Well, I just feel very, very fortunate that it's no worse, and I hope the end of it is over for the ones that are doing such devastating things to innocent people. Perhaps they too can take up quilting and quit thinking about poisoning people and killing people. It's much safer to quilt than it is to do some of the things that's been done since 9/11.
And there, in an Alabama quilting circle, Jack Beattie, our Alabama sisters remind us that you can't stay under the bed, even though they wish everybody was quilting instead of throwing bombs.
Yes. You know, in the Southern accents, that's a braid of the American experience that we need today. The South alone, unique in the country, knew devastation. Richmond in ruins, Atlanta burned. They've had an experience with historical defeat, with 9/11 everywhere. And just hearing that Southern accent is a kind of reminder that the South rose again and became, as in that quilt, part of the nation again.
Jack, we've just got another minute in this section. Speak to the importance of the show in your mind and what we can hope for from listeners.
Well, you used a phrase, our community of our listeners and our callers, and to me, that has been the buoying element of this, just listening to their thoughts and their you know, you talk about variety of opinion. We've had every kind. But the thing that strikes me most about this, you know, in public radio, there's a kind of politesse. We all sound like we're talking, saying the things we learned attended college. But some of our callers call up with real passion, with real anger.
They make it raw and real, keeping it real.
Absolutely. And they remind us that, listen, it's easy to bland things out with abstractions and talk about theories. But in the end, you know, people hold convictions. And they've sort of mirrored, for me at least, you use the word citizenship, what citizens are. They're people who care about what they think and who will argue their case. And it's just been inspiring listening to that.
Our holiday from history may be over, but with comrades like these, I feel a comfort level that we'll go forward. Jack Beatty, this hour, as in every hour you're with us, it's just a joy to be with you. Thanks for being with us this hour.
Well, it's my great pleasure to work with you.
Monica Brady-Meyeroff, Peter Laidotes, we're coming to the end of the hour of our first On Point fundraising program. Peter, how do you finish one of these things off with a bang?
How do you finish it off with a bang? You know, we've had a terrific response so far from the listeners. It's occurring to me that these listeners are saying welcome. They're not only just pledging support for the program. They are saying welcome to you. Welcome to On Point. Thank you. We've raised about $4,000 so far. How do we go out with a bang? I say we double it. We've got a few minutes before we go to hour two of On Point. Let's make it $8,000, 1-800-909-9287. I think that would be a good welcome for you, Tom Ashbrook.
Well, we appreciate it. I want to speak to those listeners right now because we so appreciate your participation every night. We know you're there. We can feel you urging the program on. I do hope that you'll go now and make that contribution, whether it's the $75 for the poster that's really cool that Peter's talking about, or $100 or $200, or for some of you, and you know who you are, there's a much bigger number that you can land on that check. I mean, that we've lived through a decade when some of us have prospered enormously, and maybe it's time for that crowd to stand up as well, and we hope that you will. Write out the big number, 1-800-909-9287.
And as you go to the phone, remember that On Point was created first as special coverage coming to you right after 9/11. It was a program formed out of a crisis, but it stayed because listeners like you wanted it to stay, and they've shown that you can keep a program like this going and lively and urgent and brave and raw and all these incredible things that this program is because you participate as callers and you are engaged with your radio every night from 7 to 9.
Participate now with your pledge of support because that's how it keeps coming. 1-800-909-9287. Jackie Lindsay, thank you. Mike Caprio, thank you. Dean Romano, thank you. William Riley, thank you. Thank you for calling and pledging. We want to thank you as well. 1-800-909-9287.
This entire show, On Point, is here because of you, because of your embrace of the show in the aftermath of 9/11, because of your urgent need to know the story behind the headlines, your generous sharing of your most intimate, honest views and questions. From our very first night on the air, we've been committed to free speech, to a wide spectrum of views, to asking the hard questions, acknowledging difficult truths. Help us keep all that going. 1-800-909-9287.
When you listen to On Point, you learn not just the facts, but issues are looked at and examined. They go in depth with the issues with intelligent conversations. Topics like Iraq, Israel. We've just heard a few of the incredible voices that have been heard on Point over the past couple of months. This is a program that you learn from.
1-800-909-9287. The number to call to pledge to Tom Ashbrook, to Jack Beatty, to On Point, the whole cast behind the scenes. $50, $75 pledge. You'll get the On Point poster. Pledge $200. Pledge whatever's right for you. But remember, listener pledges are what keep it coming. 1-800-909-9287.
We really believe here that in this era, information may be the single most important thing you can have. Without it, everything else is vulnerable. If you don't believe it, watch those clips from 9/11 again. Everything else can be just gone in an instant if we don't know what's going on in this world, if we're not fully at grips with it. Please help us continue to do that. 1-800-909-9287.
In addition to information, you bring the listeners to the heart of some matters with those diaries. I love the diaries. They're honest. They're raw. They're people speaking from their heart. And there's nowhere else on public radio that you can hear this kind of direct engagement with the listeners that the diaries provide to you, listeners to On Point.
Another unique aspect of the listener participation Keep that participation coming now with a pledge of support, because that's how it works. We need your help. 1-800-909-9287 with a pledge of $200, $400, whatever's right for you. But pledge now, 1-800-909-9287.
I want to say thank you to just some of the individuals who have stepped up this hour. Deborah Good, thank you. Timothy Healy, thank you. Alan Raymond, thank you. Cheryl German, thank you. Thank you, each and every one of you who have stepped up and helped support On Point.
Maybe it's the end of the day, and this might even be the first time you've had the opportunity to sit down and listen to the news. And what's fantastic about the program is that it often addresses the today's news news issues and goes into them in depth. And it brings you fresh perspective on them, gives you time to sit back and take it all in.
We've gotten about two of those $4,000 we were looking for. We can do it in a couple minutes. 1-800-909-9287.